Section 2. Pepsi's Challenge. In the early 1980s, the Coca-Cola company was profoundly nervous about its future. Once, Coke had been far and away the dominant soft drink in the world, but Pepsi had been steadily chipping away at Coke's lead. In 1972, 18% of soft drink users said they drank Coke exclusively, compared with 4% who called themselves exclusive Pepsi drinkers. By the early 1980s, Coke had dropped to 12% and Pepsi had risen to 11%, and this despite the fact that Coke was much more widely available than Pepsi and spending at least $100 million more on advertising every year. In the midst of this upheaval, Pepsi began running television commercials around the country, pitting Coke head-to-head with Pepsi in what they called the Pepsi Challenge. Dedicated Coke drinkers were asked to take a sip from two glasses, one marked Q and one marked M. Which did they prefer? Invariably, they would say M, and lo and behold, M would be revealed as Pepsi. Coke's initial reaction to the Pepsi Challenge was to dispute its findings. But when they privately conducted blind head-to-head taste tests of their own, they found the same thing. When asked to choose between Coke and Pepsi, the majority of tasters, 57%, preferred Pepsi. A 57 to 43% edge is a lot, particularly in a world where millions of dollars hang on the tenth of a percentage point, and it's not hard to imagine how devastating this news was to Coca-Cola management. The Coca-Cola mystique had always been based on its famous secret formula, unchanged since the earliest days of the company. But here was seemingly incontrovertible evidence that time had passed Coke by. Coca-Cola executives next did a flurry of additional market research projects. The news seemed to get worse. Maybe the principal characteristics that made Coke distinctive, like its bite, consumers now describe as harsh, the company's head of American operations, Brian Dyson, said at the time. And when you mention words like rounded and smooth, they say Pepsi. Maybe the way we assuage our thirst has changed. The head of Coke's consumer marketing research department in those years was a man named Roy Stout, and Stout became one of the leading advocates in the company for taking the results of the Pepsi Challenge seriously. If we have twice as many vending machines, have more shelf space, spend more on advertising, and are competitively priced, why are we losing market share? He asked Coke's top management. You look at the Pepsi Challenge, and you have to begin asking about taste. This was the genesis of what came to be known as New Coke. Coke's scientists went back and tinkered with the fabled secret formula to make it a little lighter and sweeter, more like Pepsi. Immediately, Coke's market researchers noticed an improvement. In blind tastes of some of the early prototypes, Coke pulled even with Pepsi. They tinkered some more. In September of 1984, they went back out and tested what would end up as the final version of New Coke. They rounded up not just thousands, but hundreds of thousands of consumers all across North America, and in head-to-head blind taste tests, New Coke beat Pepsi by 6 to 8 percentage points. Coca-Cola executives were elated. The new drink was given the green light. In the press conference announcing the launch of New Coke, the company's CEO, Roberto C. Goizueta, called the new product the surest move the company's ever made, and there seemed little reason to doubt what he said. Consumers, in the simplest and most direct manner imaginable, had been asked for their reaction, and they had said they didn't much like the old Coke, but they very much liked the new Coke. How could new Coke fail? But it did. It was a disaster. Coke drinkers rose up in outrage against new Coke. There were protests around the country. Coke was plunged into crisis, and just a few months later, the company was forced to bring back the original formula as Classic Coke, at which point sales of New Coke virtually disappeared. The predicted success of New Coke never materialized. But there was an even bigger surprise. The seemingly inexorable rise of Pepsi, which had also been so clearly signaled by market research, never materialized either. For the last 20 years, Coke has gone head-to-head with Pepsi with a product that taste tests say is inferior, but Coke is still the number one soft drink in the world. The story of New Coke, in other words, is a really good illustration of how complicated it is to find out what people really think.